while the words of that song are still fresh in our minds as Job again takes up his discourse. And he says, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head and by his light I walked through the darkness, as I was in my prime when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me." We see Job here kind of taking an inventory of his life as he continues his discourse. He's going to be reviewing everything that he had lost, considering how much things had changed. And as he considered those things, thinking about just exactly what it is that has happened, he's longing for what has been. As he looks back and says, "Boy, those were the days." And he looks at that, laments over those things a little bit. So we realize, well, sometimes, you know, we may find ourselves thinking like Job, longing for the things, the way that things were. But it's important for us to remember that God has a plan, a perfect plan, and we are, like we just sung, "All my days are in your hand." And we are trusting in the wisdom of your plan. I think we see that in Job as he embraces and understands what it is that God has done for him. And I'm thinking in here, longing to be able to feel that in a very real way. Once again, let's pray, and then we'll study this passage together. Our God, we thank you for your word, for we know that it is an instruction to our hearts, and we pray that you would give us understanding as we look into your word, that we might know your commandments, Lord, that we might be reminded of your promises, that we might just once again learn of your goodness and your love, Lord, that even as we look at your word this morning, we will learn even more how it is that we may trust in you, for you are so very, very faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And looking at those verses, and Job, as he is thinking, longing for what had been lost. Very first point there is longing for a sense of God's closeness. In verses 2 through 5, longing for a sense of God's closeness. He's saying that, I don't know that Job necessarily would say that God, where is it that you have gone? You must not see me anymore because of all these things that are happening to me, but just that sense, just that feeling, that he knew that God's hand was upon him. Sometimes I liken it to, yeah, I can be there with somebody, but sometimes when somebody comes up and just puts an arm around you, just that closeness and that care and that love that you feel from people. And Job would look back at his life and say, that's what my life was like. I just felt like God was right there with me every step of the way. He was watching me. His eyes were upon me. We see even a few times Job says, Lord, your eye is upon me and you're not vindicating me from these things. So we know that he hasn't lost sight of the fact that God would see. But he's saying, God watches over me. Just the idea of protecting, for caring for him. And we know that was a reality because we even look at Satan. Back in the early chapters of Job, where God asks, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, yeah, but look at all the good things that you have done for him. You have protected him. You have surrounded him. No wonder he trusts in you. So that was the truth of what his life was like. And, And he said there in verse 2, he says, the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me. He was my like a security camera, keeping all the bad stuff away, warning me and directing me, and that was a blessing to him. We also see in verse 3, where his lamp shone upon his head, by the light I walked through the darkness. As Job counseled and directed and guided other people, he knew there was darkness out there. He knew there was struggle and that there was difficulty. He was thankful to the Lord that he wasn't walking through those things himself. And he recognized that God was guiding him. God gave a light to his path that he might know where his steps were going. And he knew that that was the blessing and the goodness of God that guided him each step of the way. Then he talks about his, as I was in my prime. Now, what days were those? Are they gone by or is it still ahead of us? But he looks at us as my prime, the peak of his strength, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me. And that, I think he's just reflecting and said, boy, God was near and he knew it. He was near. Now, the word that he uses there, I was in my prime and the friendship of God was upon my tent. And we look at that and say, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us, making us friends of God. What a blessing it is to know that kind of closeness, that intimacy and that friendship with God that Job here enjoyed. Just the goodness of God and knowing that he was close, he was near. Call me, I'll be there. If you have a need, I'm the first one to come and help you. That's what a friend do for us. He said, God's my friend. He's upon my tent, blessing me. He's caring for me. And I know that the Almighty is with me. Now, let me look and say, I can remember times where we look back. Say, boy, days were maybe a little bit better. I knew I could maybe feel the nearness of God. Say, boy, the Lord really blessed me there. Just so thankful for what he did, because it couldn't have worked out that way any other way than the hand of God was there, and I know he cares for me, and I know that he loves me. Maybe you can think of times like that in your lives where he's protected you, he's guided you, he's been watching over you. There may be other times, even like Job, maybe the temptation is, where did God go? Where's that blessing, that hand that I enjoyed? And even the Psalms that we were singing this morning, so many of them. Oh God, why? Oh God, where are you? Have you removed your hand from me? And I say, it's maybe nothing wrong with then asking God to be near to us. But it's important that we never forget that God is there. In those times where we think it's dark and I just can't see, God has promised, and we know that he is there. If we are in his hand, we will not fall out. No one will pluck us from his hand. His watchful eye is always over us. He's guiding our path to accomplish his purpose, that he would be glorified, and he's doing that which is good. And that's where our hope is. That's where our confidence is. That idea, sometimes we can say, I just don't know what to believe because I just don't feel what I want to feel. But it's more important that the things that we know are true affect the way that we feel. For Job, feeling like, is God still, you know, I remember when I could feel God guiding, directing, comforting. I said, but we know that God does those things, whether it's on full display to us or not. We know those things are true, and we need to hold fast and tightly to those things, never forgetting that God is there. Moving on, you see that Job is longing for the comforts of a good life. Job's longing for the comforts of a good life, and this is just the second half of verse 5. This is when my children were all around me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. I think about that, and the phrase, just even if you've ever said or thought the good old days. You know, you maybe hear people say that. I'm thinking about our younger generation. Some of you are saying, well, that was just last week. All right? You don't have that many days gone by, or maybe hearing the old people say that, and you think, you are crazy. You know, why would you not want to have all the technology that we have and all the wonderful things that are there? I was thinking about it. I said, what a great, those days when you could just drive and nobody knew where you were. Oh, wait a minute, that's maybe not such a great thing. For me, it's nice just because I leave my phone places and Cheryl can look at it and tells exactly where the phone is, even if it's not with me. But we look at those things and we say those good old days. And Job uses poetry to describe this for us. And when he says, my steps were washed with butter and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. Even as we talked about elders, steps were washed with butter. That doesn't sound like a great idea. Not very safe, anyway, to be washed with butter. I'm a firm believer that everything is better with butter. All right. So as we look at that, what he's saying is there is a luxury. There, the idea of the cream that was there and the blessings that he enjoyed. And if we were to use today's vernacular even, again, maybe for some of the younger, boy, that's butter. Boy, it's easy. It's smooth. Just so, so nice. He says, that's what I had. Everything was so good. It was a rich, was a wonderful life that I had. And he says, the rock poured out for me streams of oil, which gives the idea of an abundance poetically. But oil that would be used for healing, oil that would be used for cooking, and just how they would use oil. And he says, I'd never, ever, ever run out, for I had a fountain of oil coming from the rock, from my foundation. And as you look at those things, he said, this is just a wonderful blessing that God has given to me. There's decadence and there is abundance all around me. And Job says, that's the kind of life God gave me, the physical blessings that he enjoyed. We also real just getting into more poetry. We see that Job also had a longing for the confidence about the future in verses 18 through 20. Verses 18 through 20. Job says he's looking back and saying, all those paths that I had that were so smooth and abundant and all of those things that were lost and taken away. He had some hope and he had some expectations about his future. In verse 18, these were his thoughts. He said, then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My roots spread out to the waters. with dew all night on my branches, my glory fresh with me and my bow ever new in my hand. Job looks at his life and just kind of his expectations. Back in the day when he could feel and he knew God's hand of blessing in his life, Job would look ahead to the end of his life. And he said, I'll die in my nest. You know, and again, those images and the poetry there, I think, what is a nest? So, well, it's a place where there is security. There's a place where a bird can rest. There's a place where a bird will have its young. A place of comfort and joy. He says, as I look at my life, that's how I'm going to die. I'm going to be surrounded by my children. You know, God being gracious to me in my death, just slipping away into the night, entering into my eternal rest. He looks at that and says, I shall die in my nest where everything is good. He says, I shall multiply my days as the sand. There's one thing about sand. If you had a handful of sand, well, it slips out of our hands pretty easily and they disappear. But Job's illustration here is saying, you know, however much sand you have, even if most of it slipped away, try to count those grains. There's a lot of them, even in just a small handful. Just as I imagined a long life, days numbered like the sand, in my nest with loved ones surrounding me. He says again, more imagery here, my roots spread out to the waters with dew all night on my branches. Boy, constantly refreshed and being fed and his thirst quenched. My glory fresh with me and my bow ever new in my hand. It was like strength and vitality that he would enjoy. He looks at that and says, everything is good. And Satan would say, everything he touches turns to gold. That's Job's life because that's what God has done for him. And Job says, I envision this being the end of my days. Until the day I die, I will always be refreshed with dew and the waters. I will have vigor with my bow ever new in my hand with strength. My glory will be fresh with me. And then at the end of a long life, I'll die in peace. I'll rest in life as I enter again into my eternal rest. That's joy. That's Job's expectation. And now, in the middle of his trial, he's thinking, I wonder if that's going to happen. Not only had he lost the joys of the past, he lost that hope for what his future life was going to be like. You know, as you look at these two things, longing for the comforts of the good life, longing for confidence about the future, you know, looking at those things, even considering for ourselves, I mean, joke about some of our maybe 10-year-olds in here, 11-year-olds, that, yeah, the good old days were last week. But we can even remember, and even for, you know, you sitting here, you know, the reality is even at a very young age, we can look back and say, man, things were a lot better 2 years ago. People change. You know, I've got more enemies than I had before, and I do not understand why. You know, as you get older, I've got more aches and pains, and I don't know why. But things change, and we look back, and we look ahead, and we say, boy, I remember when. And well, I wish it could be a little bit more that way. And again, this is important for us to remember as we consider those things in our own lives. I don't have the comfort that I used to have. I don't have the same hope for my future life that I used to have. And it may be discouraging. Well, it might break our hearts a little bit. Because we know that even though we may think back to those, we cannot go back to those days. Things can't change. Some things just cannot be changed. That is just the way things are now. For that, it's important for us to remember that, again, we are trusting in God's plan. Job didn't know all of his plans, but he knew that he had given him a good life. And he knew he gave him hope for a future. And as Job would look at that and consider that, and we'll see later, God explains things to him to realize even though things had changed, even though things will never be the same, well, God continues to have a plan. He continues to give us good things. And we need to submit ourselves and look for His will. You know, not even just considering a picture, you know, some of those things to see Christ. You know, in Philippians 2, where he says, you know, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He took on the form of a servant, becoming obedient to death, even the death on a cross. We look at that and almost for scripture reading this morning, looking at Matthew 27. Where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? To look at even Jesus Christ, as he looked at that, but equality with God was not a thing to be grasped because he was God. Those privileges and those rights and that authority was his to claim because he was God. And yet he humbled himself. And look at how, you know, what becoming a man did, the suffering that he faced, the death that he had. But we also realize Jesus Christ said, I did not come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, not my will, but thine be done. When we think about our comfort, we think about our confidence, say, boy, I'd like to have that again. I'd like to be able to look forward to this. Well, if things are different, and things have changed, we entrust ourselves to the plan of a sovereign God who, again, loves us and holds us in His hands. And when we get discouraged, even like Job does over these things, that gives us joy and that gives us hope. And we look at Job as he longs for these things. He says, when God's hand was upon me, looking for the comfort that he enjoyed and the confidence that he had, just finally looking at it and say he had a longing for a position to counsel, which I think is important because as you look at this, even as Job starts here, he says, boy, God, I wish you'd give me health and wealth and wonderful things again. He says, no, I just want to know God is with me. I don't care if he gives me that stuff back. I just want to feel God's nearness again because I don't feel it like I used to. And he wanted to know and be near to his God. And in these verses, we realize that as Job looks at these things, the authority, the position that he held, the blessing of God, he realized that that was not simply and solely for his own benefit, but that God had a purpose in his life and he had a responsibility to work those things out. And we'll start reading in verse 7. Let's look at it, just following up on saying, you know, oh, that, you know, for the days when God watched over me, when my steps were washed with butter and the rock poured out streams and oil, because in verse 7, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and withdrew. And the aged rose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongues stuck the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, it called me blessed. When the eye saw it, it approved, because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. The blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey from his teeth. Then I thought, I shall die in my rest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My roots spread out to the waters with the dew all night on my branches, my glory fresh with me, and my bow ever new in my hand. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my word dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as in the spring rain. I smiled on them when they had no confidence, and the light of my face they did not cast down. I chose their way and sat as chief. I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners. Just kind of imagining that as he realized what God did in the position that he held and the confidence that gave him. First of all, Job had occupied a place of honor. That scene there in verse 8, just imagining Job walking into the square. They're at the square and maybe the city gates. There they are. They're making decisions. They're talking about politics and philosophy and justice and deal making, places of commerce. All those things are happening. Maybe a few people had gathered there before Job had arrived. But when Job is coming and people see him getting closer, the young men part and they make a way for Job to walk into the square. The young men withdrew. The aged rose and stood, which suggests they had honor for him. Say whether they're older than him, but even those who maybe are his elders honored. And the princes, the nobles, said they stopped talking. So Job walks in. Everyone parts to make a path. He walks in. People stand giving him honor. And whoever was talking, whether it be a prince or a noble, stopped. And that's Job, the honor that he held. People had a great respect for him. Almost remember, they walk in and he gets in and gets caught up, settles in, they make him a seat. Everybody's just waiting and asking, Job, what do you think? They wanted to hear what he had to say. Everyone looks to Job, no matter their age or their rank or their status. He had a place of great honor. But we also see as he occupied that place of honor, Job also had opportunities to help others. You know, with that, some people, even as they would talk about kings and rulers and whatever. Well, you give some people a place of power. You know, they love it because there's a whole lot that's in it for them. They don't mind lording it over people, doing whatever it is that they want for whatever benefit that they can gain from it. But we see Job, as he was there, you know, his heart was to help other people. And as even in the end of the chapter here in verse 25, Job says, I chose their way and sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, which basically said, I called the shots, I have all of the authority. Then that last phrase, like one who comforts mourners. You know, we look at that even as the nation of Israel begged for a king. And if you were to study all of those kings, well, the ones that followed after God, the ones who didn't follow after God, the ones who loved God's word, the ones who disregarded God's word, we understood that as the king went, the nation went. And Job describes himself as, you know, I'm one that comforts mourners. Job had no desire to lord his authority over anyone or to use his honor and his respect for his own gain. He says, I see this as an opportunity to help other people, and he helped people in numerous ways. It lists some of those people in verse 12. He says, I delivered the poor who needed help, the fatherless who was, you know, the orphans who had no one to help them, to care for them. Job realized, I need to be there for them. In verse 13, you know, the one who was about to perish blessed me. Job was one who could go and he could give comfort to those who were dying. How can I serve you? How can I help you? The widow. I'm just thinking of the loss there of maybe what is most precious to them. And Job says, I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I was eyes to the blind in verse 15. I was feet to the lame. I was father to the needy. I even searched out the cause and helped those who I did not know. Just how many ways that he helped people. And he helped people, I think, by providing for them, by giving them comfort. And we also see by delivering justice. He was a man who did justly and loved mercy. In verse 14, he says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Verse 17, I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey in his teeth. All of those things, and realizing that there was any injustice that had been done, and we look at the weak, the needy, the fatherless, the widow. If anyone was going to be taken advantage of or see injustice, it was probably those groups of people. They didn't have anyone looking out for them. But Job, he looked out for them. He gave opportunities. He had opportunities to show justice. He had opportunities to show mercy. And of all the ways that God blessed him, he determined in his heart, even as a righteous man, that that wasn't just for his benefit. It was to do God's will and to take care of the needy and to show justice and mercy to others. We realize also that Job had been observed to have wisdom. As people looked at Job, we realize, I'm just going to shut my mouth and I'm not going to say anything else. I just need to hear what it is that Job has to say. And as he considers those things, verse 23, he said, you know, they waited for me as the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. You know, he talks even about himself and with God, what he expected, the waters that would be there refreshing. Job knew that the words that I speak, they're a refreshing to people. They were blessed and helped and encouraged. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Verse 21, they listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my word dropped upon them. As I sit there, Job would say something. When he was done speaking, there was nothing to be added. No one was going to say anything to make it better. Nobody's going to say anything to make it more complete. Job realized, again, that's God's hand upon my life. He has blessed me in this way that I might be a blessing to other people. And to him, that was a great joy. And it was a blessing. Another one of the reasons that he longed for, you know, the Lord's hand to be upon him. In one sense, yes, all of the you know, I don't know how many camels a guy needs, but all of the camels and the sheep and the servants and his children, boy, it'd be great to have those things back. But boy, if I could just feel and know the blessing of God upon my life again, whatever comes with that, that will be a great joy to me. Because when God did that, boy, it was a blessing to me, but it was a blessing to others as well. And Job wanted his life to be that way. A lot more verses into how he could serve other people than the verses that talk about what he personally lost out on himself. And so we consider that and we look at those things are, you know, just in conclusion. I think for Job, these verses do tell us what the longing of his heart is. This is what I want more than anything else. And for us, there's things we may long for. There may be things that we seek, and to follow up and ask, you know, that question, on what basis do we hope for those things? You know, so much of what we've sung, and even in the prayers and hearing this morning, just saying, boy, you know, what is it that I long for? Am I longing for the right things? Am I just, you know, am I selfish? Do I want to be helping others? Do I want to just love God more? What exactly is it that we are longing for? And, you know, on what basis do we hope for these things? Job understood all of these things came from the hand of God. They came from his work and his help in my life. So he was seeking God with all his heart. And that's the basis of our hope. This morning, you know, and then to what end do we hope for these things? We said, what would we like for that to accomplish? I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be happy. Or Lord, I want your will to be done, and I'll be content with that. And then I'll want you to fill my heart with joy and hope as a result of all the things that you are doing, whether you give or whether you take away. And that's the joy that Job had. And for us, just by way of reminder, to say as we look at that and we think about those things, what is it that I really, really long for? And to say, I will seek the Lord with all my heart, and I will wait upon him as he accomplishes will in me. And for me, that will be enough. That will be my blessing. That will be my joy. And whoever uses me, I will praise him. Whatever he gives to me, I will praise him. And so we trust in him today, just as that he is near, that he guides us, he directs us, and he gives us wisdom all the days that we need. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll sing together. God, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we thank you for the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. Or even as we consider him to be like our Savior, that he suffered for sins that were not his own, or that we might have hope in his sacrifice and in his life and in his death. Lord, so we thank you for those things this morning. We just pray that you would help us to set our minds on things that are above, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Lord, as we grow in our longing and our desire to know you, Lord, that you would satisfy us in great and wonderful ways because of your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.